We turn again to God's Word tonight, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're reading from verse 25 down to verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 25 down to verse 32. Let us hear God's Word. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Amen. May God give the blessing to the reading of his word. For a few moments tonight, we turn to verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Dear congregation, the apostle wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The apostle presents again to those Jewish believers the race that is before them. A race to be run, activity to be engaged in on a daily basis. Oh, dear brethren, there is a walk with the Lord, and there is a race to be run looking unto him. Now, as we think of a race, there are guidelines. At school in late spring, they used to be out in the fields painting white lines on the grass. And why were they there? Well, you know, so to guide the competitors when they were running the race. But we have a book to guide us in life. And the psalmist recognizes it here. I will run the way of thy commandments. And this book clearly shows us the way. In Micah 6 verse 8 we read, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord is made plain. We're to do justly, we're to love mercy, and we are to walk humbly with our God. Now the psalmist here focuses on the way which he was to run. And as he does so, he looks up to the Lord and pleads that the Lord would enlarge his heart. And just note again some of the verses in this section of the psalm. Just see where he's been at this time. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. He knew that heaviness within. He found himself on the ground. How he needed the Lord to enlarge his heart. He was so very aware of his need. And as he thought of this continuing race before him, he showed to the Lord his prayerful dependence, and he begged the Lord that he would have an enlarged heart. And he believed that the Lord would answer that prayer. For we read here in verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And as we think of these things tonight and the difficulty at times of running the race, let's be believing. The Lord will come and enlarge our heart. And then one further thought before we come to these words tonight. As we consider the race, let's afresh tonight realize our total need of the Lord each and every day. Left to ourselves, we won't be running. But recognizing the help of the Lord, we will be able to run the way of thy commandments, or his commandments. Well, let's come now directly to verse 32. And first of all, resolve to run the way. And then secondly, reliance upon God. Resolve to run the way. And then secondly, reliance upon God. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now note in verse 30 that through grace he had made a wise choice. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Religion was his choice through grace, and it continued to be so at this time in his life. Dear brothers and sisters, when we consider so many around us who choose the way of ill, are we not thankful that grace has intervened into our lives? And there was grace at the beginning, and there has been grace in those subsequent times, and we've been helped to choose the right way. I have chosen the way of truth. Now just go back to verse 29. He's thinking of grace, isn't he? Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Then he speaks of his choice. I have chosen the way of truth. He's very well aware. It's all of grace. He's made this choice. And are we not thankful for grace that helps us to make the right choice? Now we, alongside every believer, stumble at times. Many over the years, whilst taking part in the Olympics, have stumbled whilst running around the track. And we do stumble. Are we not thankful for restoration? Think again of those words in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. Yes, we face weary times when we're cast down, and the Lord comes in that gracious way and supports us within and lifts our souls, and we know that restoring. We could think of that, but oh, consider at times we go astray as sheep. But the shepherd comes after and he restores our souls. Are we not thankful for restoration? When we consider the times when we stumble. Now in verse 30, we see through grace his choice. And then in verse 31, we see his faithfulness. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. It's all of grace, isn't it? That's very clear here. He's made a wise choice because of grace. And he's been enabled at certain times in his life to be faithful, and that's of grace. And dear brethren, it's all of grace when we think of verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Left to ourselves, we would roll down the path of sin and gather momentum. That's what would happen. We would roll down the path of sin and gather momentum. But through the intervention of grace, there are times when we're particularly faithful. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. You notice the psalmist, he pleads for acceptance. O Lord, put me not to shame. Consider that I'm seeking to be faithful. O Lord, put me not to shame. Well, with this in mind, the grace that has intervened, so he has made a wise choice and been enabled to be faithful, then we come to verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. We're presented here with his sincere resolve. Yes, he looks back and he's thankful for grace, for the way in which he has been helped. Now we have his resolve as he looks to the future. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run. This is the language here. Now he has in mind the word of God. We think here of the commandments. And as we have seen before, we're not just thinking of the Ten Commandments, but the whole of the word of God. The word of God is presented in Psalm 119 under the law, under the commandments, under the precepts, under the statutes, the testimonies, and so on and so forth. So we're not just thinking of the Ten Commandments, neither was the psalmist. He was thinking of the law, the word of God as a hoe. And he considers that in mind. And he has this resolve to run the way of it. Then we're told in Proverbs 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Men so often look to the ways that seem right to them. They're guided by others, but they do not look in the right way. Listen to Eric Liddell. If you are not guided by God, you will be guided by something or someone else. If you are not guided by God, you will be guided by something or someone else. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And how many are going down that path? Oh, that men would turn to the Lord and go in the right way. The way of God's commandments. I will run the way of thy commandments. Oh, consider the word again before us. It tells us what one is to believe. It tells us about our great God. And it reveals to us the everlasting gospel. And those who believe it will know eternal life. It tells us what we are to believe, and it tells us what we are to practice. Think again of those words in Micah 6 verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. It's the right way, isn't it? God's way is the right way. Oh, that many in this country would turn again to the book before us. It's the right way. Secondly, it's the good way. Psalm 119, verse 101. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. He's refrained. He sought not to go down that path. Yes, he stumbled at times. We know that. But he sought to refrain his feet, that I might keep, he says, thy word. You see, he knows what is good for him. And it's the good way that he seeks to run down. It doesn't harm us, does it? No, there are blessings on that way. And it glorifies God. I will run the way of thy commandments. He's focusing upon the Lord and his word. And he's seeking to give him the glory. The psalmist has then the right way and the good way before him. And dear brethren, let us seek each and every day to particularly focus on the right way and the good way. Yes, we have a number of Bibles in our homes. But oh, to particularly focus upon the word each and every day. Now at this point I'd like us to consider three things. As we think of these words, I will run the way of thy commandments. Firstly, there needs to be the reading of the word of God. We desire to be shown. We need to read. We need to be acquainted with the word each and every day. We need to be refreshed in what we are to do. We need a clearer understanding. We need to read. We need to search the scriptures. It's what the Jews were doing. Our Lord exhorts them to continue doing it. Because in them there are the words of eternal life. Yes, we have searched the scriptures like the Bereans on many a day. Oh, we're to keep searching. We're to keep reading. We need to know where we are going. We need to look where we are going. You think of a race. You need to look where you're going. As a boy on holiday, I was walking behind my parents down in Dorlis. And I wasn't paying attention. Suddenly, bang! Ouch! I walked into a post. I wasn't looking where I was going. Oh, we need to be looking at the way before us. Or we're to listen to the word of God. We're to read it. So we know where we are to run. Yes, we know we have believed in Christ. And we know what we are to do. But you need to keep looking. Because we need to be reminded each and every day. So firstly, reading. Secondly, we need to be meditating. We need to think about what we are reading. Now, there are a number of things hard to understand. And we need to pray for help in understanding. However, we have the word before us as a whole, and the Lord shows us the way. We need to think about what the Lord is saying. You know, sometimes when I was at school, the teacher would be up the front and I would daydream. And suddenly I would come to and I would think, I hope the teacher doesn't ask me a question. Because I haven't been listening. I haven't been thinking on what the teacher was saying. We need to think what the Lord is saying. We hear what the Lord is saying. We need to think what the Lord is saying. And so we need to meditate on the word of God. Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Not only does he read it, but he meditates upon it. It's his delight. And so the psalmist was drawn back. He was drawn back to the word of God, and he was drawn back to consider and to meditate upon it. Oh, let's pray the Lord would draw us back more often. You may say, well, I'm reading the Bible each day. That's good. But if we're honest at times, we don't pause as we ought to and meditate on what the Lord is saying. You remember Samuel of old? He said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Oh, to be saying that more to the Lord. And to think about what the Lord is saying. And then thirdly, we need to be praying. We need help, as we shall see in a moment, to run the way of God's commandments. We need a heart that is stirred, a heart that is enlarged, how we need to pray. Now you note the psalmist, he's praying here. Just come with me to the next verse, in the next part of the psalm, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Teach me, give me, make me, incline me. The Bible is before me, O Lord. Teach me, Lord. Cause my heart to be pulled towards it and thee thyself, and make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Make me left to myself. I won't put one foot in front of the other. So Lord, make me. Yes, we know our duty and we're responsible for what we do. We're to walk humbly with the Lord our God. But oh, how we need help. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. How we need to pray. One of old wrote, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Read, meditate, and pray. If we're going to make this resolve, we need to be reading. We need to be meditating. And we need to pray. Let's consider this resolve at the beginning of verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Manton. He points out this. He doth not say, then I should run, but will run, as binding his soul by a resolution. I will run. That should be the language we use and the resolve we have. I will. No uncertainty here. I will run the way of thy commandments. Now, as I'm thinking of these words at this very moment, I know that I will be found asking the Lord for forgiveness when I stumble. But that does not put us off, does it, tonight? Making that resolve before God who is in heaven. I will run the way of thy commandments. I will. It's good to make these resolutions before the Lord. We need to do it carefully. Because we're accountable. But we ought to be doing it regularly. for the glory of God. I will. Now we just confine ourselves for a few moments to the Psalms and note a number of resolutions in the Psalms. First of all, Psalm 9 verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. There's the psalmist's resolve. I will. And yet we know in Psalm 13, he knew sorrow in his heart daily, but still he made the resolve. There are times of great sorrow. And we may find it such a struggle. But for the glory of your beloved Saviour, you ought to make this resolve. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. And what a blessing when the mind is focused and we're looking to him. What a shepherd we have who carries us through the valley. What a shepherd we have who leads us through the darkness. We can rejoice in him. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. There's one resolve. Consider secondly another resolve. Psalm 18 verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Considering the worthiness of the Lord, that he is so worthy, I will call upon the Lord. Consider those in glory tonight and others around this world. Worthy thou art, O Lamb. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. Just consider him. He's so worthy. Will we not make our resolve now again? I will call upon him. Thirdly, Psalm 23 verse 6. This familiar resolve. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now rightly so. It's a great anticipation of heaven also. The gatherings of the saints here below. What a wonderful anticipation. To be with Christ, which is far better. And then to be able to say those words, I joyed when to the house of God. It's an anticipation to be with the brethren. But something that's overlooked is this. There's a resolve in those words. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Thinking of the gathering of the saints here below, I will. It's my resolve, whenever possible, to meet with the brethren and enjoy the presence of Christ. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many have sung those words at a funeral? And they don't go to a service again, maybe to the next funeral. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or to say to the Lord, I will, Lord. Yes, it's our anticipation. I will, I know it, Lord. Through grace I will be with Christ in heaven. But oh, I have a resolve here upon earth. Fourthly, this is a challenging one. Psalm 38 verse 18. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. I will declare. I will be sorry. See the humility of the psalmist there. I make it plain to thee, O Lord. I will be sorry. Thinking of the future. This is challenging, isn't it? Lord, when I fail thee tomorrow, I will be sorry for my sin. I will declare my iniquity. What a resolve that is. It's a challenging one, isn't it? Thinking of the future, saying to the Lord tonight, I will declare it, Lord. I will be sorry. Fifthly, Psalm 56 verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fears will come to my soul. But my resolve is this, I'm going to trust thee, Lord. What time I am afraid, I will, Lord. I will trust thee. When I'm fearful about the future, when I'm fearful about this situation, I'm saying to thee tonight, O Lord, I will trust in thee. I will trust thee who is over all things. I will trust thee who performeth all things for me. Let's go to another resolve now outside of the Psalms. Joshua 24 verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I have that text on my wall in the lounge. It's a good text to have, to be often reminded of that great resolve. Yes, we may consider what others are doing, but it comes down to this, and our consideration before the Lord, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Keep saying that to the Lord. Make new resolutions, refresh old ones often. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, give me grace to do it. But consider my resolve when so many are going the other way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How often do we make resolves before the Lord? How often? Note this one here. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run. I'm not going to stand still. I'm going to run the way of thy commandments. You may not feel like running a race round a track, but here's your resolve. I'm going to run, Lord. That's what I want to do. I don't want to sit like so many in this world. I want to run after thee. I want my soul following hard after thee, as we see in Psalm 63. I will run. That's what we want to do, isn't it? But we know we need help. And as we draw to a close tonight, let's consider secondly, and we will be brief, reliance upon God. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now let's be careful here. When we stumble, we must only point the finger at ourselves. Some may say, well, I can't do that. Well, because I don't feel my heart's been enlarged. We have a duty. If ye love me, says Christ, keep my commandments. But oh, how we need the Lord. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Thomas Manton, the Puritan again, enlargement of the heart is a blessing necessary for them that will keep God's law. There are times when the heart can be restricted. Sin can so restrict. Sin, like a band, restricts the heart. Worldliness is like a band that restricts the heart. Oh, for growth. Oh, for enlargement. Sin can restrict. But then consider secondly, there is the slowness of the heart. The occasional beat. Hard to work things out. You remember those two on the road to Emmaus? They found it hard to work it out. And the Lord knew that. Oh, for an enlarging. Oh, for an increase. When the heart is so lifted and helped. Ah, that's the way today. I must go. But then consider further. Sometimes we have a heavy heart. Go back to verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. It melts, or in the Hebrew it can be translated as droppeth. So heavy. One so struggling. It's hard going. Oh, for that stirring within. That cultivation of the graces through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For this enlarging. For the heart to swell and enlarge and to grow. It's easier to run when your heart's in it. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Yes, we can outwardly be going in the right way, but oh, when the heart is enlarged and our hearts are in it, that makes the difference, doesn't it? Oh, for faith to grow. So we grasp the word more tightly. This is what the Lord is saying to me. I'm looking at it. I'm believing what the Lord is saying. And so rest then and lean on the guiding influence of the word and the promises contained within. Oh, for love to grow so there's a greater affection. So that I have that skip in my run when I'm running. Oh, for greater love. Oh, we need the enlarging of the heart. We know those days. when it's cold within. O Lord, enlarge my soul. That's what we so want each and every day, isn't it? An enlarged heart. A heart so taken with the Lord. A heart so stirred. Oh, that I would be there more often. When I come to read in the morning and in the evening. Oh, for a heart stirred. And as I live in this world, that my heart would be more stirred. We need the enlarging of the heart. Oh, make this a prayer. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. But as we close, take comfort. You will be running. The psalmist believed it. Do you believe it? Are you focusing on the power of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to touch your soul? Yes, at times you may stumble. But you will be running because the Lord will come. And to touch your heart. And your faith will focus on your beloved Saviour. And your rest in the guiding influences and the promises. You will be running. As sometimes in my life, I'm hardly putting a step before another step. Or one foot before another. But oh, there are times when I'm running. And oh, glory be to God. Because it's the Lord that has touched the soul. And put that new step in our run. Amen. Let us pray.